I think they're...
I think we need rights for ferrets. I mean, sitting there...
I think they have rights, actually. I think the UN explicitly mentions ferrets as protected species.
See, I told you, they're taking over.
They have a good lobby group. What can you tell you? Anyway, we're out of time here on Radio Free Thinker. So this is Ethan, your free thinking historian, saying thank you for listening.
And this is Don saying, eyes open, minds on.
If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe.
Thanks for listening to Radio Free Thinker. Remember to visit us online at radiofreethinker.com. And subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. If you have any local skeptical events you would like us to mention on the air, email us at info@radiofreethinker.com.
Venture to the stars. A still more glorious dawn awaits, not a sunrise, but a galaxy rise. A morning filled with 400 billion suns. The rising of the Milky Way. The cosmos is full beyond measure. Elegant truth.
Up next is Parts Unknown with DJ Chris Arific on CITR.
We'll be right back. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Gay Games. And to the thousands of athletes, coaches, family, and spectators from around the world. Since 1982, the Gay Games have given lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender athletes and supporters around the world a chance to come together to compete, celebrate, and inspire others. It's been remarkable to see the Games thrive over the years.
The Gay Games is the world's largest sporting and cultural event specifically for LGBTQ+ athletes, artists, and musicians. In 1990, Vancouver held the third Gay Games, where approximately 7,300 athletes took part, and over 1,500 cultural participants attended.
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit livemusicvancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. Liveband.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
Listening to Textbook CITR 101.9 FM. We broadcast live from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Hunkamina-speaking Musqueam people. My name is Josh. I'm here in the studio today with some folks here to talk about Pharmacy Awareness Month. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves? Go ahead.
Yep. So, hi everyone. My name is Gerald.
Hello. My name is Simon.
Hi, my name is Melina.
And we are here representing Pharmacy Awareness Month 2017.
Great. So do you want to tell me a little bit about what this month is gonna look like?
Yeah, sure. So just to give a bit of background information, so Pharmacy Awareness Month is also known as PAM. It's a month dedicated to celebrating the profession of pharmacy. And the main purpose of it is to let other students know or everybody know about the profession of pharmacy and how we actually contribute to the healthcare system in ways that people might not know about.
Why don't we introduce ourselves?
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, why don't we give people a bit of background on who we are so they're not just listening to random people. My name is Melina. I am currently the pharmacy student senator, and I will be finishing my term this May. And I am also the marketing coordinator for the Pharmacist Awareness Month Committee. And I also do a bunch of other stuff within pharmacy, but that's irrelevant for now.
So I'm Simon. I'm one of the co-chairs. I'm actually the VP external for the Pharmacy Undergrad Society, and that's, I guess, who I'm representing today. I'm also almost done pharmacy as well, and I really like the pharmacy community, and that's why I'm here. That's why I'm helping out.
Yep. And sorry about that. My name is Gerald. I am one of the co-chairs for Pharmacist Awareness Month as well, and I'm representing the Canadian Association of Pharmacy Students and Interns as the senior representative. And like Simon and Melina, I'm almost done my year with pharmacy.
Okay, so everybody's getting ready to graduate. That is super exciting. So, Matt, what was the reason that you guys chose to go into pharmacy in the first place? Does anybody want to kind of give a little bit of a breakdown of that?
Okay, I don't know about these two, but like for me, I chose pharmacy because I didn't want to study something purely theoretical. I wanted to jump into something where I feel like whatever I'm learning is going to be useful in society, in real life, which I feel I'm getting a bang for my buck here.
Bang for your buck. Yeah, that's it.
I think I always knew I wanted to do something biology related, and that's what I studied in high school. And after getting to pharmacy, it's not quite the same as what I thought it would be. But, you know, after getting to know what it is and getting to know all of the people, I really love it. And that's why I stayed.
So I actually didn't know what pharmacy was about. I actually got pushed into it from my parents. But after being in the program for 3 years or so now, I've come to really enjoy it. And there's a lot of things I didn't know about pharmacy back then that I do now.
What?
That pharmacists aren't just behind the counter counting your pills. We do a lot more than that.
Okay, yeah. So tell our audience, because I think a lot of people don't know kind of what pharmacists do.
So there are a lot of things that pharmacists can do that people might not know about. For example, let's see.
Yeah, like, you know, so, like, you know, the current image on TV and, you know, movies and whatnot is that, you know, we're kind of just sitting there, we're pushing it into a bottle and handing it to you. But we do a lot of, you know, background check, right? Like, we check if the medication is actually right for you, if you have a lot of medications. And this is, you know, especially important in, like, seniors who are on maybe 7 or 8 medications at a time, right? We want to make sure every new medication, every change in your medication is still safe for you. And that's really, really big. Right. And we are also expanding our roles. Like, we can give vaccination injections now. You'll notice, like, the shoppers outside, right? They'll put up signs saying, oh, we can give injections now. We'll get you vaccinated. And, you know, that's something we love to do as well.
There's also a bunch of smaller things we can do for you. For example, if you have this weird growth on your face and you're not sure about what it is, we can take a look and we can tell you whether or not you should go see your doctor right away, or you can just, you know, slap some hydrocortisone 1% cream on it and you'll be on your merry way, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you have a growth on your face, the first place to go. Also, do you want to send in a little disclaimer? That none of this is medical advice, because that's not something we can give.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. As we are student pharmacy students right now, if we were to give any kind of advice, we would need a licensed pharmacist supervisor. So as you know, what we're talking about right now, none of it is advice, and you'll hear us say often, so, you know, go to see your pharmacist, go see your physician.
Absolutely. One thing that you brought up, Simon, was the interaction between drugs, and that is something that you're going to be talking about a little bit during this month, this upcoming month, especially related to caffeine and to alcohol. Yeah, does anybody kind of want to lay down some of the problems and the issues there when it comes to mixing medication and caffeine and alcohol?
Yeah, so I can elaborate a little bit on that. So I think a lot of people aren't aware that caffeine is actually a drug. So we see it every day. So a lot of people are very casual about it, so they may not be aware of the interactions with some of their medications. And that's just something that we wanted to talk about during Pharmacist Awareness Month, especially since not a lot of people might know about it.
And, you know, as relating to alcohol, I think if we didn't have any alcohol, I wouldn't really be here anymore. It's, you know, it's things like, you know, obviously a healthy amount. There is a healthy amount we can be, you know, using both caffeine and alcohol, right? We just want to make sure we make people aware, you know, how much is too much, right? What are some of the signs that make it, you know, so it's not so healthy for you anymore? What should you watch out for, right? Things like that you'll see at our booth during the first week.
Okay, cool. And so what are the kind of repercussions, especially with caffeine and medication? What kind of repercussions can we see from that?
Well, a really straightforward example is if you suddenly take a lot of caffeine, you'll feel you're getting a lot of palpitations, your heart rate is going up, and you're sweating a lot. The other thing people might not think about, since we're really young, is that if you drink enough caffeine, it can actually thin your bones. Again, disclaimer, don't take my words and come back to me, but this is what we learned in class. And yeah, maybe if you're drinking a lot of caffeine and you're worried, definitely go talk to your physician.
Okay, so that's serious business. Thinning your bones, it's not something you want to have happen. Give me a little rundown of the events that are going to be going on this month. Just a quick little sense of where you guys are going to be, where students can find you, what kind of information you're going to be providing.
So the first week we're going to be talking about opioids and like the fentanyl crisis in the Nest. Second week we're going to be in all of the first year residences like Totem, and Melina, correct me, Vanier, and Orchard, and talking about stimulants and caffeine and all of this kind of stuff. And then the last, we're going to be back at the Nest. We're talking about women's health and contraception. Yeah,
great. So to start, let's talk a little bit about the opioid crisis that's going on. What kind of events are you guys going to be doing around that? What kind of information are you going to be providing to students there?
So we are aware that students might be taking medications which might contain opioids, so we just want everybody to be aware of the dangers associated with it. So we're going to be doing a demonstration for how to administer naloxone. That's the medication that's used to treat overdoses. And we're also going to be talking about interactions with medications. We're also going to have a pharmacist there where you can ask about if you have any questions about like side effects or what are the symptoms of overdose. So we're going to have a lot of stuff going on for that because it is a pretty big topic right now.
So go for it.
Yeah, and well, ultimately, right, our goal is just to make sure everyone is safe. We want to make sure that people know that, you know, if you have any of the symptoms or if you know anyone that might be struggling, right, they can find a kit inside, you know, UBC Hospital at the Student Wellness Center. They give it out for free, so there's no cost there. You know, you just go in and, you know, they can take care of you, right, things like that.
What are pharmacists' roles? What are the roles that pharmacists play during this or have been playing during this opioid crisis, this fentanyl crisis here in Vancouver?
Did you know that you don't need a prescription for naloxone? You can just purchase it at your pharmacy. I heard that in Alberta it's actually free. Don't quote me on this.
I think there are some locations in Vancouver where it's free as well.
Yeah. So you don't need a prescription to get naloxone. If you're feeling like you're about to overdose, you can also head over to a pharmacy because pharmacists are trained to look for signs of overdose. I'm not going to tell you guys right now because I don't want lawyers coming back at me, but, you know.
And the other later in this month, you're going to be talking about women's contraceptive health. Do you want to kind of give a rundown of that issue at UBC and what that is? Kind of give me the landscape of that issue at UBC.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously, you know, as healthcare professionals, we're not endorsing one side or another. What we are here to really offer is that
What are the two sides?
So, like, you know, whether you're pro-life, pro-choice, you know, as healthcare professionals, we're not taking sides on this. What we are doing is saying, these are the options available. We want to make sure you have all of the information. And you know what? There are plenty of new contraceptive devices that people may not be aware about yet that has come out.
Okay, like what? Like what?
Yeah, sure.
So, for example, there are patches, hormonal injections, vaginal rings, and even intrauterine devices. So these are some of the more newer devices that students might not know as much about.
And these are going to be things you're going to be talking about? It's going to be an info session, or is it going to be giving things out, or what are you going to be hosting exactly?
Yep. So we're going to have a booth there, and we're going to be talking about all the different types of contraceptives, which ones would be best suited for you, what are the side effects associated with each one, the cost, and basically just general overview of them.
Okay, cool.
Because they all have different effectiveness, in terms of, you know, how effective they are at preventing pregnancies. And they also, you know, may not be suited for everyone, right? Like, if you have, you know, difficulty swallowing something, right, we have something available that will also work for you.
And there's a recent article that just came out in the UBC. Is that right, about contraception and health insurance here at UBC?
Okay, as a lot of you may know, the AMS provides medical insurance to a lot of our students, and you can get drug coverage through the AMS. And the UBC published an article about what the most commonly billed for medications were, and out of the top 10, 5 of them were contraceptives.
So this is a really relevant issue at UBC.
Yeah.
And what is your objective here as part of, you know, as pharmacy students and as future pharmacists? What are you trying to be doing when it comes to this issue?
We just want people to know what the different options out there are. A lot of people might think that once you get a type of contraception, that you're going to have to stick to that type forever. However, that is not true. Even within oral contraceptives, there are different types with different formulations that if you're experiencing one side effect or another, we can get rid of that by switching contraceptives.
Great. Cool. Well, thank you so much, guys. I think that's a great way to end it off. The whole month, there'll be Pharmacy Awareness Month here at UBC. Where can they find more info about this?
Yeah, so if you go on Facebook and look up UBC RX PAM, PAM, you'll be able to find our Facebook page, and that'll have links to everything. Or if you look up the hashtag PAM2017, you can not only see what we have done, but also, you know, other people in the country have done.
Great. Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody, for coming in the studio today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Josh.
Pharmacy Awareness Month is going on all this month, the whole month of March here at UBC. I'm going to play a quick track for you guys. This is Burn One for the Saints. This is Morning Coup off of the CITR's Pop Alliance Volume 4 mix. Morning Coup will be playing in Abbotsford next week for The Imposter. They're doing a live recording at the University of Fraser Valley. I'm helping to organize that. Please come out. It's going to be a really good time. That's at Abbotsford. It's Abbotsford B101, University of Fraser Valley B101. Live showing of The Imposter, which is a great podcast. Totally worth checking out. Here it is, Morning Coup, Burn One for the Saints. CITR 101.9 FM. CITR 101.9 FM, you're listening to Textbook. My name is Josh. We broadcast live from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Hokkaido-speaking Musqueam people. Except we have a very special programming. The students from Creative Writing Collaborative Songwriting course have come by the station, rather, to present their songs, talk a little bit about their collaborations in that class. There was some really great stuff, some really interesting conversations. So that's going to be for the next hour. That's going to be a whole hodgepodge, students from music, students from creative writing, students from all different faculties talking about their experience doing that, producing music, and their relationships to music, relationship to music more generally. So enjoy. Here it is, CITR 101.9 FM. The song you heard before that was Morning Coup, Burning One for the Saints off of the CITR Pop Alliance and Morning Coup's Baby Blue album. Thanks so much. Hey, this is Textbook CITR 101.9 FM. I have Mickey Lee Smith and Mateus Tyler in the studio today. Mickey Lee Smith is a music student here at UBC. Mateus is in the English program, and they're both in a collaborative songwriting course, 400-level creative writing course. They're here to perform Blue Bones, a short piece they've been working on together. So here they are.
Great.
stones. Let them fill the blanks and give up every ghost. Let them bury all the things you want the most.
Thank you so much, guys. That was really good. That sounded really great. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that song? It's called Blue Bones. What was the inspiration for it?
For this project, we were drawing inspiration from our visit to the museum.
To the BD Biodiversity Museum.
Yeah. So we visited the museum the other day, which I'd actually never been to in my 3 years here at UBC. So it was interesting for us to be going to a place, you know, we hadn't been before, kind of just very open-minded with how we were going to draw inspiration from the museum.
Yeah, and the things we were looking at. And
was there a specific artifact or something on display there that got your attention?
The whale.
Yeah, well, I mean, Blue Bones is kind of a play on the fact that it's the bones of a blue whale. It's the huge, it's like the main thing in the entrance to the museum. It's like the signature piece of it. I guess the song is, because it's still taking shape. This is literally just a verse and a chorus that we wrote yesterday.
In an hour.
Yeah.
Because I had to go.
Less than an hour. But it seems to me that, you know, the way it's going, it's almost like we're drawing from the idea that the museum is really made up of sort of dissected animals and bones and
yeah.
Like lifeless things.
They really don't prepare you for that when you walk into the museum. So do check it out, but be prepared.
That sounds a little gruesome.
Yeah, yeah. I felt a little nauseous, to be honest, for a little bit there. But
the fish.
It's really cool.
What are your kind of musical influences? You know, moving away from the grotesqueries. What are your because it's quite a sweet song. Like who are you listening to? Who are you thinking about? Where are you drawing inspiration from?
Well, you started with the chords, right? Like, because I had a little melody for the verse, and then you had your chords.
Yeah. When we visited the museum, Matthias was just jotting down like little phrases and things that he thought would be good for lyrics. And then I was right before Matthias came over to write the song, I had this little kind of lick, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
That I thought would be groovy for the tune. And then we kind of just sat down and
Just started humming and
put everything together. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
And in terms of songwriting influences, who are you listening to? Kind of like to draw on inspiration, like favorite bands or albums?
I thought the lyrics were kind of grungy, because it's actually like it sounds sweet, which I guess you're right, but I thought it was kind of depressing.
We were gonna write, because for this project we have to have a 10-minute piece, so this is short at the moment.
Yeah.
But we were thinking of maybe like a folk ballad, so we were thinking about like folk singers.
Yeah,
like
right.
I don't know, Bob Dylan is great.
Yeah. I've been listening to a lot of Father John Misty lately, who has kind of a sardonic sense of humor in his lyrics and can be pretty depressing, so
And we also wanted to contrast genres in the 10 minutes of musical material that we have to showcase.
Yeah.
So we're probably going to do a folk kind of what we showed today, and
And then we're gonna see maybe something funkier.
Yeah, I really like starfish. This is one of my favorite things at the museum. And Matthias didn't really know that, but he had an
idea. You tell me, but I didn't remember until you tell me again.
Oh yes. Yeah. And then he wrote a little ditty called
"I Am the Starfish."
Yeah, I am the starfish. So we might do a little pop song.
give me a sense a little bit of this class and what you're doing in it. It's a collaborative songwriting class. Yeah. What is the kind of idea behind it?
It's kind of an intro to collaborating with others who kind of, we all have different backgrounds.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it's either mostly music or
creative writing.
But then there's like other random people, there's master's students, there's undergrads.
Mm-hmm. And we all have our own level of musical ability or ability to write lyrics. I'm definitely on the lower end.
Oh, come on.
Lyrics.
You should play me the song, the first one you did.
Yeah. Maybe.
No, it's good.
Well, Mickey, you're coming from music. So, what has that been like working with writers and people that are coming from kind of more of a literary background?
For me, it's been great to not have to worry too much about lyrics. I usually let my partner take care of that. But it's also been a learning experience to find a common language or a common ground that we can discuss. Like, do you like this theme? I'm not going to talk about, like, dominant sevenths resolving to tonics,
because
that probably won't work when we're talking about what we want to mesh together with ideas.
Has it changed your process for writing at all?
A little bit. Like, for when I write by myself, I can either think about it compositionally through, like, musical theory and such, but when you're working with people who may have not had as much musical experience as another, you kind of just find you learn how to express your ideas in a universal way.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
usually I write just based on like what's in my head, so like melody and lyric usually at the same time, but yesterday, you know, you were doing those chords, and then the choruses kind of came, and then you were like, oh, let's add this, and So it's great to be able to, like, write to music in a way, and I just feel it kind of enriching my songwriting ability.
Well, thank you so much for coming by today and playing this song and coming to the studio with me. Yeah, appreciate it. Mickey Lee Smith and Matthias Taylor, they were here to perform Blue Bones from a collaborative songwriting course. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
It's a sacrifice I made last year to donate my blood, my body to you. You can see that everything's changed. I've stayed the same. You know this ring's true. Keep traces alive. Join me behind the looking glass. Behind the looking glass, there's no way out. One day everything's gone, we'll stay the same. They'll need something new. No mannequins, just...
That was Looking Glass by Olivia Etté and Ricardo Cayatte. They are part of the same songwriting class here at UBC, a 400-level creative writing that is all about collaboration. Olivia's in the studio with me today. Olivia wrote that song. It's performed by Ricardo Cayet, who is also a member of the Reckoners group here in Vancouver. Olivia, thank you so much for coming in the studio today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell me a little bit about that song and what your inspiration was for writing it.
Sure, I'd love to. So I went to the BD Biodiversity Museum recently, which is such an incredible venue, and I found myself comparing it to a lot of different museums that I have seen recently. For instance, I went to Science World and was really moved by the Body World display there when I was a child, and I particularly loved seeing these bodies with their flaring pink muscles. And right on our way out, there was an exhibit that was showcasing women's fetuses in different stages of development, and I just found it really extraordinary. It was the closest I'd ever seen to the human body being put on display behind a looking glass in a museum. And so I also have, my best friend is in dentistry, and I have some friends who are in med, and they're dissecting bodies, and before they start, you know, taking a look, their professors tell them that this is an extraordinary privilege. The very few people get to see dead bodies and look at them so closely. And so this really resonated with me as well. And then, of course, they have wax museums where the human body looks the closest to our human body now on display. And I've heard of a lot of people who have fainted when seeing wax museum models in torture chambers and so forth. And it's just all really intriguing stuff. And so when I was thinking of this song, I was thinking and drawing inspiration from our culture and how we don't put human bodies, like the true human body, on display in a museum. We like to ritualize and have the dead buried, cremated. It's a very close family-related experience. We want to keep the family line. So it would be really fascinating to, I wanted to hypothesize about a world where, for instance, someone like Trump or other members of society are basically have their eyes replaced with glass balls, and they, you know, are having taxidermy work done on them. I have a friend who works at BD doing taxidermy work and plucking feathers off of birds and repasting them on, and it's a lot of work. And yeah, so what would our world look like if we put people up, and why don't we? And I think maybe it has something to do with extinction, possibly. I feel like when we put animals behind a looking glass, it's so that we can preserve them forever. And I guess us as humans, we don't really want to envision our doom and our future extinction. And so we like to be on the other side of the looking glass, always looking in. I wanted to write a song that was from the perspective of the human in the looking glass, and what would a world be like if humans were the ones in the BD.
That song you just heard was Looking Glass. Olivia Ette is in the studio with me right now talking about that. Olivia, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Josh.
It's a sacrifice I made last year to donate my blood, my body to you. You can see that everything's changed. I've stayed the same. You know this rings true.
I'm here in the studio with Stephanie Hungerford and Darren Shu. They are both in the collaborative songwriting class with Tariq Hassan. They are here to talk about some work that they've been doing. They took a kind of different approach. Well, for one thing, they were doing a different assignment. They were working on an email-only assignment where the collaboration was limited to email correspondence. Darren, do you want to start by just kind of detailing what that was like? You're a composer. You study music. Kind of give me a sense of what it was like working only over email.
Working only over email. Although that we both replied very fast to emails, we still had like a lot of limitation because we couldn't just have like quick conversations over like small things like what should this note be or what should the rhythm be, like things like that. So I found that quite difficult because of the limitation of doing things by email.
And what was the kind of idea behind the assignment here? What was this assignment supposed to be addressing? Was there a particular reason why email correspondence is relevant, Stephanie?
Well, because everything is done over the internet nowadays in, you know, business or entertainment or anything, it gave us an idea of what it's like if, let's say, we lived in completely different countries and we were collaborating on a project. You know, we're not in the studio together, so I think Tarek was giving us a taste of what it's like in the real world if we were to actually write and compose music together.
And so what was the song that you came up with? Can you describe kind of the elements? What's gone into it?
So for this song, Stephanie wrote the lyrics, and it was about... actually, talk about the lyrics first, perhaps.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, because there's so much going on in the world in terms of political strife, I decided to write... Essentially, it started out as a poem about what's going on in the U.S. I'm half American, so for me... I am, yes. Surprise, surprise. So I lived in the States for a while. I have family down there, so I just thought, you know what, this is something I'd like to write about. So I wrote a poem. I'm inspired by Leonard Cohen quite a bit, so... You know, I wanted to put a lot of emotion behind it, and then I sent the lyrics to Darren, and Darren then composed the actual music.
And what, Darren, you do some kind of compositional work. What instrumentation were you having on this track?
I used piano, strings, a bit of drums, and a tambourine. Yeah.
Cool. And aside from studying music, you're also a business student.
Right.
Do you want to tell me a little bit about your background and how you came to be in this class?
Well, I started university with business, and my major is finance. But I found that I'm not that passionate in this aspect. And in second year, I decided to minor in music. And I started to take composition courses. And one of the professors told me about this opportunity to like write songs and collaborate with other people, and I immediately dropped another business class for this class. Yeah, and I found it very interesting, and it's things I've never done before, so it's yeah.
Cool. That's great to hear, dropping business courses.
Yeah, great.
And Stephanie, what's your background like?
I have a bit of an eclectic background. So I did my fine arts degree, Bachelor of Fine Arts in acting. I was an actor for many years, mainly in comedy, stand-up and sketch. So I was always writing comedy mainly, but then I moved to LA, and that's where I wrote a one-woman show. And I never really thought of writing as something I would do as a career, but someone said to me, why don't you take a television writing class at UCLA? So I took one, and I loved it, and I ended up doing the whole two-year program up there, or down there in LA, and now I'm doing my MFA in creative writing, and I'm a television writer by trade. But I've always loved music. Music's been a huge part of my life. So when this course popped up as part of the MFA program, I thought, well, why not? I mean, it was terrifying to me, but it's actually been one of the most interesting classes I've ever taken.
How has it changed your approach to writing, doing this sort of songwriting, collaborative work, specifically kind of one-on-one collaborative work?
You know, you really have to tap into your subconscious, I feel, because, I mean, when you have both music and writing, it's almost like you go into a different state. I don't know, for me anyway, with music.
Yes, definitely, because what I normally compose would be just purely instrumental, and it's actually the first time I've worked with like worked on songs, so I have to combine words and music together. So it would.
Yeah. You're kind of combining both sides of the brain a little bit. But I think it's really taught me to just kind of go for it and not worry about it, you know? Because actually, Tarek has been, you know, we had to have assignments were due every week for a while, so we had to come up with a song every single week. It really forces you to go, you know what? I'm just going to throw caution to the wind and hope it all comes out okay. And everyone is so talented in this class. It's amazing.
Great. Stephanie and Darren, thank you so much for sitting in the studio with me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. A consequence.
We row, we rally, we rule with sense. Without our thoughts, how can we fight our righteous battles against the plight? Our thoughts don't rest, we gather ground. We band together so we don't drown. One mother, but hate for each other beyond comprehension brings us to suspension. God's skin voice, don't have the choice, remove the mask, we're all the same.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Textbook. Up next, we have Discorder Radio. That's going to be great. That starts at 5 o'clock. Here, just a quick little ad before we get back to this little project on collaborative songwriting, creative writing course on collaborative songwriting, some interviews, and some more songs. Thanks so much for listening.
Everyone, this is Nicole from UBC Heart and Stroke Foundation Club. Here at HSF, we aim to promote health and wellness, provide financial and volunteer support for the Heart and Stroke Foundation of BC and Yukon, and foster interest in cardiovascular disease research. If you want to be part of an amazing community of heartthrobs, learn more at www.ubchsf.com.
How do you like your media?
Raw. Spicy.
Free. I like my media sunny side up.
Shape your media just the way you like it by supporting CITR. Every year, we ask listeners, readers, friends, and family to support CITR by donating to our annual fund drive. It keeps the station running, and it helps us take on new projects. This year, CITR is looking to help our community shape their media by fundraising to provide new training sessions in current affairs journalism, giving creators new skills to shake up the media landscape. Thursday, March 9th at 12 p.m. to March 16th, we're opening up our phone lines old-school telethon style. Call in during your favorite programs to hear about the special prizes each show is offering. You can support CITR and Shape Your Media by making a pledge. You can also make a pledge now online at www.citr.ca/fundrive. How do you like your media, John?
Spicy. Is that good?
Thank you.
Wait, hold on.
I think
Keegan also said spicy. Can I say something else?
Mm-hmm.
No, can you ask me a question again?
How do you like your media?
Well done. But that's not like what CITR is, more like a rare steak.
Next up, I have Kate Lee, Nick Forick, and Jinmo Kim. They're here in the studio with me. And they are an interesting duo because they are starting to collaborate for the first time together. Not necessarily by choice, potentially by being assigned. But I think that's always an interesting process. So do you guys want to just talk to me a little bit about your experience in the class so far? Do you want to start, Jinmo?
Yeah, sure. So in the class, we've been given a few different assignments. And actually, this is the second time we're collaborating with anyone in the class. And the first two assignments were kind of done on our own. The third assignment, we were put into groups again. We were assigned. And then this time, we're also being assigned.
And how have you been finding the class?
It's been very interesting. It's kind of a different course. We have a lot of freedom. with what we do. The instructor, Tarek, he's pretty cool and, like, very chill about what we do. And just, yeah, gives us a lot of room for being creative.
And you are a computer science major?
Yes.
Yeah. A music minor?
Music minor, yeah.
So this is the first time you're kind of taking a creative writing course as well?
Actually, no. In second year, I took a creative writing course, but that was on, like, that was in on poetry.
Okay, cool.
So it's still very different from this class, though, yeah.
Yeah. And how have you been finding the writing?
Actually, I haven't done any writing for this part.
Okay.
Or this course, I mean. Yeah, for the last assignment, my partner did all the writing.
Okay,
so.
Cool. So you've been keeping yourself to the music.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Cool. And what's kind of instrumentation are you working with mostly?
So I produce using Ableton Live. So I'm just putting a bunch of instruments and effects on whatever material I've got.
Okay, yeah. Cool. And Kately, what about you? What's your background like?
My background with music is I've done stuff with musical theater. I've been like in a lot of shows, and then I also have like a classical singing background. And then it's been really cool taking this course because I'm double majoring in creative writing and biology. And then this course, we're supposed to kind of take inspiration from the BD Biodiversity Museum. So it's actually like kind of combining my three favorite things, which are musical theater and creative writing and biology.
That's great. I know you folks are going to be collaborating on some kind of musical theater piece coming up. What are your kind of favorite productions? Tell me a little bit about your relationship with musical theater.
I really like, in terms of like watching, like The Producers and like Spamalot, really like Monty Python.
Yeah, great. Both great musicals. Just yeah, off the bat, Producers, fantastic.
Yeah, but probably my favorite musical that I was in was like The Sound of Music. Yeah, that was a good experience.
And who did you play in The Sound of Music?
I was Maria in that.
And what was that? Yeah. What was that like? That's a big role.
It was really cool. Yeah, I got like, I guess like pretty like invested in the character. Like we had to keep like a journal from our character's perspective. So that was like a really cool experience as a performer, I guess. Yeah.
How did you kind of invest in that character? What do you mean by that?
Well, I just had to like,
did you feel like you felt like you were getting to know the character? What was that journaling?
I just
like?
Kind of like find like I guess like parts of myself that were really similar to the character. Yeah, and
well, that's good because Maria is a great character. So already off to a good start.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk to you, Jinmo, a little bit about you know, your relationship with music. Has there been a moment where you found the music has kind of really, I don't know, seemed kind of added up in your life in a sense of being, you know, something really important to you and you kind of realizing that importance?
Yeah, I guess making music itself is just like one of the only things that makes me happy, basically. And there was one moment where I made a piano piece. It was for my uncle. And it was kind of for a personal reason. And then I performed it for him live, and then he was moved to tears. And that was a moment where I just realized, like, music is really something special that humans can share.
Kately and Jinmo, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
CITR 101.9.
CITR 101.9 FM.
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 CITR, Voices of UBC.
I'm here in the studio with four students from Tarek Hassan's songwriting course. They are here to talk a little bit about the course, talk me through it, describe their experiences in it. Do you folks want to just go around first and introduce yourselves and your majors?
I'm Olivia Hoffman. I'm a creative writing major.
I'm Fletcher, and I'm studying classical piano and finance.
I'm Bailey, and I'm studying accounting.
And I'm Sarah, and I'm working on a BA in music.
Cool. So, coming from mixed background, do you want to just first off talk about Fletcher? How about you? Your classical piano is your background. How have you been finding this course?
It's definitely interesting. It's nice to be able to focus on the creative side of my music because classical piano is very disciplined and very... a lot of the people that I usually work with sort of don't have any interest in writing music or anything like that, so it's nice to be surrounded by people that have got that sort of outlet. It's been interesting having deadlines to meet and also collaborating because I'm not really used to that, but overall I think it's been pretty beneficial.
Yeah, how has everybody been finding the deadlines? Because I think that is a really oddly administrative but really essential part of creative flow. How has the pace of the course been treating everybody?
I think it's been pretty good so far. I definitely say, yeah, the deadlines are a change for someone like me who just, like, goes home and writes a song after school kind of thing. Like, it's... I tend to write songs and, you know, I wrote like half a song last night and I don't know if I'll ever finish it, but this class definitely challenges me to, you know, continue on with what I've started. And it's definitely interesting, you know, we've only had like 4 classes, I believe, so far, maybe 5, just due to the fact that we've had reading week and family day. So, yeah, but I definitely feel like the time that we get in class is really beneficial. We've really grown as a group, I think, because we're so small in numbers that we, you know, we had time in one of the classes to actually get to know each other. I think we spent the majority of the class just getting to know individual people and interviewing them, finding out what kind of music they like, that sort of thing. So that's been really cool.
Yeah, talk to me a little bit more about that and kind of the community or kind of the way that the collaborations have kind of spawned.
Well, I think differently than a lot of other creative writing classes I've taken, it's more focused on just the art itself instead of workshopping it. So you have a lot of time to talk with people and talk about writing music and just music itself. We like all shared songs and bands that we like, which I think has been really cool to really just get to know other artists and communicate on that kind of level.
Okay, so what are the artists that you guys are looking to for inspiration in this course?
Oh, that's a really good question. For one of our last assignments, you received a set of lyrics or pieces of music from a partner, and you had to turn that into a piece. So my partner wrote something that she fully intended in her mind as a Disney